The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
Can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome back to another edition of the Computer Corner. That's right, we are not your daddy's computer radio show. Primarily probably because your dad didn't have a computer radio show, so we can make that statement and stick to it. We are the Data Doctors. We're here every Saturday afternoon talking about technology. The Data Doctors du jour are Ken Colburn and Kevin Church. Say hello to the wonderful people out there, Kevin.
Hello.
To the wonderful people. We have got, I believe, one of the better shows. Not that they're, any of them are bad, but, you know, some are better than others. So it's like a pastry, right? You get those really light, airy pastries, and then you consume them, and you kind of walk away unsatisfied, like you're, eh, that was nice, but... And then you have the opposite end, where you have this really heavy meal, and it's just there, and just kind of too much.
Like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And then the best situation is you get that light, airy, you know, start and finish, but you get some substance in the middle. And I believe today's show, I'm pretty certain, unlike last week and the week before where we're talking about these viruses and all this stuff, we got some light, airy topics. We've got some great information. I have a report from the road. I took a netbook on a road trip, my first attempt at using a netbook on a road trip. So I'm going to we talked about netbooks in past shows, and I didn't have my own experience to bring, so now I have that, and I have some very practical advice for those of you considering a netbook. I've been a pundit of these things, and I was actually surprised they do have a place in this world. And I'll explain to you why I say that and what you can do to improve the netbook experience should you find yourself in a similar position where you have to go. But most importantly, we're here to talk to you and have you participate in the show because your participation makes the show that much more gooder. And the way you can participate is 602-277-5827. That's the old rusty wire. Give us a call on that if you'd like. Or you can join us online at datadoctors.com. A little slash there under the question mark and the word radio. And it will take you right to today's theme. And the light, airy start and finish... Right? The theme of today's show, it sounds kind of mundane, but I think by the end of the show, people will go, that was a good topic. It's keyboard shortcuts.
I think that's a great topic.
In 10 years, generally the Saturday before Easter, we've always done the Easter egg thing where you go find these little cutesy little hidden programs, and you know what? We're done with that. We'll let all the other computer shows do the Easter egg hunt. I mean, if you really want to find those Easter eggs in software... Great. We want to focus on productivity. We want to focus in on things that make your computing experience more enjoyable, more efficient. And let's face it, everybody loves to learn a new keystroke, a new tip, a new something that they can show people and then, you know, wow them. Everybody loves to get those. So here is the mandate if you're listening to the show, whether you want to call in or submit one through our website or... If you're on Twitter, that's the quickest way to get right to me. So I'll monitor my Twitter feeds during the show. And you can find me on Twitter as The Data Doc. Just look up The Data Doc and you'll see our Twitter feeds. You can send us your favorite keystrokes. We want to discuss as many of those keystrokes that people love to use, that use them all the time. There's depending upon how you use your computer, what you use it for, these keystroke shortcuts can be life-changing, especially if you've got like carpal tunnel from the mouse. And then there's all kinds of reasons that these shortcuts, which are plentiful, there are tens of thousands of shortcuts. Just about every program you use has shortcuts that, you know, if you start using them, makes a big difference. Years ago, when my favorite all time in the early days, it's not as relevant now, but it still is. In the old days of the Internet browser, Internet Explorer, if you did not type in www dot and all that other stuff, then you got confused, didn't know what to do. So you had to type in this whole long, drawn-out thing. And early on, I discovered that, for instance, if you wanted to go to our website, datadoctors.com, instead of typing in www dot, certainly you don't have to put http://, all that stuff. But I learned in the early days, if you just put in datadoctors, hold the control key down and hit enter, Internet Explorer automatically put the HTTP and the colon and the backslashes and the www and even the .com in the address bar for you. And that is still the quickest way to get. You know, you want to go to ESPN, you type in ESPN, control enter, boom. It bypasses the let me figure it out for you, which has now subsequently been added to all the browsers. So now if you just type ESPN and hit enter, it'll sit there, and the browser will go, okay, we're going to make some assumptions, and it starts to fill that in, but it takes longer. So Control-Enter has always been one of my favorites. Well, I didn't realize until I read some of the other shortcuts as I was looking last night. You know, sometimes you have to go to a .net. I believe it's Shift-Control-Enter, and you'll get the .net instead of the .com.
So you have to hit three buttons to type out
three characters.
Four characters.
Well, actually, no, because it's the www and the, you know, right?
Okay.
So you're about three, four keystrokes ahead here.
All right. I'm jumping ahead of it.
And if you leave out the www normally, then you're one keystroke ahead. But the difference is, it's cooler. And let's face it, when it comes to technology, the cooler way is always the better way.
My favorite cooler way is the. We'll tell people what it does in a second, but it's hold down Alt and then hit Tab. If you have multiple windows open, if you want to be able to switch between them really quick, you just do that and it makes it look like you really know what you're doing.
And then if you have the cool breeze vista effect where it's like rolling, right?
Yeah.
You can do that now too. So you want to talk about cool. Vista allows you to be really cool, at least for the people that don't realize that you can do this on any machine and anybody can do it. But anyway, that's the point of the show. Twitter, our webpage, or the phone, which... we got a couple lines open, which is very rare, 602-277-5827. We're going to ask you, if you're calling in, we're going to ask you, give us a shortcut, because that's the whole point of this show. We want others to go, oh, I didn't know that could do that. Whether it's in Word or it's in Excel, whatever it is. I do a lot of copy and paste. And instead of highlighting, you know, right-click, copy, go over to the next screen. I mean, it's Control-C for copy. Control V for paste, which, why wouldn't Control P be for paste?
Because you have to print.
Control P is for bringing up your printer dialog box. So the way that I remembered, somebody told me a long time ago, the way to remember Control V for paste is think of it as like Velcro.
Yes. I always did it by looking at the keyboard and seeing that's the key next to the C. You like that one, didn't
you? That's even better. So... that's the kind of stuff we want to hear from you. Like I said, later on in the show, we'll talk a little more about my netbook experience, which was pleasantly surprising, actually. Pretty long trip there. And then, of course, we'll continue to talk about Twitter, and we're trying to show folks how to start. I mean, it is one of those tools that's super powerful, but takes quite a while for people to get their arms and their head around it. Some interesting statistics that we dug up this week. On Twitter as well. It's not, the people using Twitter in the masses are not who you might think they are. So that'll be some interesting discovery as well. You're listening to the Computer Corner. We're talking about keyboard shortcuts, netbooks, and pretty soon we're going to be talking about Bluetooth 3.0. Stay tuned for more. Ah, yes, the unforgettable, unimaginable computer keyboard. We rely so much on the mouse for the user interface, but I think the keyboard is, you know, doesn't get near as much love as it should. So today's show is all about keyboard love by sharing your favorite keyboard shortcuts. Shortbread?
What?
Man, one track mind today, huh? It's all about food. So anyway, call in. Use your Twitter feeds, tweet me with your favorite shortcuts or the web interface at datadoctors.com/radio so that we can share those And anybody on hold, before we answer your questions, you have to share one of your favorite keyboard shortcuts or we won't help you. Speaking of somebody that needs help, I believe...
I could use so much help. I think the short bus and the short bread go together on
it's, in my case. It's yet the other data doctor. What's going on with you? What are you slumming?
I was driving and heard you talking about keyboard shortcuts and thought, you know, the one that I think is... Kevin, the Alt tab is pretty awesome. Alt F4, I use all the time. Do you remember what Alt F4 does?
Absolutely. And it makes everything go away.
Well, it just closes whatever program's active, and if you keep doing it over and over, it eventually will tell Windows to shut down, which is awesome. The other, the control enter you mentioned for, making the website address, that's an awesome thing. I recently started playing with the dark side, the Mac OS, and was frustrated that didn't exist until I realized it does. It's command enter. So for all you Mac folks out there, command enter does the equivalent of control enter in the Windows world.
Look at that. Is that quality? I mean, we don't even have Lewis here, and we don't need him because we got Mr. Brandon Disney.
don't even, come on. You can't put me in that category. The last one I got for you, the backspace key when you're in a browser, also another killer feature. It's the same as the back button.
You know what? That's amazing how many people didn't realize that. That's the point of the show is that we want to make sure that those things, especially us, we take all this stuff for granted. And it is life-changing. I mean, you've seen that, right, Brandon? You see it in their eyes. They're going, wow!
Yeah, you show somebody the first time. I was actually over at the house of a guy who works down there at the station. And he's a big Mac guy. I thought he was the Mac man.
The Mac Daddy Macker?
Yeah, and I showed him Command Enter, and he, like, almost beat himself.
He flipped out, huh?
Yeah. Can I say that on the air?
Yeah. Well, I think you can.
Middle late now if I can't.
All right. Well, hey, there you go. He's priming the pump, folks.
That's all I got for you. Hopefully I got somebody's creative juices flowing there and you get some more.
Well, listen, you got the weekend off. Go enjoy it.
I will. Thanks.
All right. All right. Perfect. Thank you, sir. And that's how it works. You call in, you give us a few samples of these keystrokes that you like, and then we'll see if we can help you. Art, Lee, Jim, Todd, we've got a couple people that want to give us their keystrokes. We've got a question about netbooks. And Art's got this Service Pack 3 issue that a lot of people are perplexed with. So I'm going to actually, you know what, let's just tease this segment. Art, we're coming up on a break, but then we're going to give you all the quality and value we can on the other side. What's going on with your situation? You're trying to upgrade?
I'm on. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I keep getting these notices to install Service Pack 3.
Yes.
And I go through the process, and I just about get it completed, and then I get a message that it cannot complete.
Yes.
So then I go back and do a system restore, and my system goes back to where it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if I should even be concerned about Service Pack 3, because otherwise it's not causing me any problems.
Well, that and much more, and when we come back as well, Art, you got to, before we're going to deal with your question, you're going to have to give us your favorite keyboard shortcut to stay in tune with today's theme. So be ready for that. But Service Pack 3, it is a compilation of a lot of the updates that have been released over time. The best scenario is to make sure you have Service Pack 3 installed. So you can get by without installing Service Pack 3, but only for a period of time because they all kind of build on each other. So we'll dive into that into detail. Art, hang tight as we go to break here. We are talking about keyboard shortcuts. We're going to be talking about the netbook experience that I took a very long flight, was on the road pretty much all of last week. Generally speaking, I'll lug my big old laptop around and I'll have my iPhone. And, I've kind of talked down about netbooks long enough that I thought, yeah, maybe I should try one. I mean, they're not that expensive. And for the most part, it is the internet that I need to be able to access. And so I gave it a shot. Talk about that experience later on in the show, as well as answer Jim's question on netbooks as well. It's the keyboard shortcut extravaganza here on the Computer Corner. We've posted a bunch of resources to all the more common programs, Windows, Mac, Word, Excel, all that, and the list and lists of keyboard shortcuts. That and how you know what the keyboard shortcuts are for any program that you're using. That's another tip that's coming up here. So there's absolutely no reason not to tune in for the entire 2 hours today. It is the Data Doctors, Ken Colburn, Kevin Church. I will give him a chance to say something later on in the show. Right, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Not yet.
Sorry.
Back after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's the keyboard shortcut. Did we call it an extravaganza?
Yes, you did.
Can you go to thesaurus or dictionary.com and find a synonym for extravaganza?
Just kidding.
We're hoping that we'll expose you to some new keyboard shortcuts, whether you're using a Mac, using a PC. Whether you're using a Mac or a Windows machine, they're all personal computers. I'm going to try to break that whole marketing campaign that Apple has.
I'll point it out every single time.
Let's do that. We're monitoring our Twitter account. So if you are on Twitter and you want to give us your suggestions, what's nice about Twitter is you have to say what you're going to say in 140 characters or less. You can't be long-winded like you can in email. But if you want to email and be long-winded, you can do that on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Or you can call in 602-277-5827. Before we go back to Art and his Service Pack 3 nightmare, the Chappelles, that's one of the Twitter followers that's chiming in. He says, Windows key plus D to minimize all the windows and show the desktop. So if you've got like 5 or 6 or 10 different programs open and you want to get back to the desktop because there's an icon or something on there, that's a quick way to get all of them minimized all at the same time. Windows plus the D, the Windows key, the little Windows logo key plus the letter D. He says, Alt print screen to copy only the window with focus, the active window that's on the screen. That's the one where the blue bar is actually highlighted. Alt print screen as opposed to print screen. When you press print screen, now you old timers that are back in the day when DOS, when I started in the computer business and that old disk operating system, all the text-based operating systems were there, you'd hit print screen, and your printer would actually start printing out all the text on your screen. It was amazing how many people thought that was the printing function in all programs. When Windows came around, when you pressed print screen, nothing would happen, and it really perplexed a lot of people. The print screen button now, in its default, when you press it, what that does is it captures everything that's on your screen. It's a screen capture that you can then paste into a Word document or what have you. So the Alt print screen, what it does is it says, ignore all the stuff in the background. I'm only interested in capturing the screen or the window that I'm on right now, the active window, which is where that blue bar goes from kind of a grayed out blue to the bright blue. That tells you that's the active window. You hold Alt down, hit the print screen, and it only copies that one little window. So if it's a little small window, it'll copy it as a small window. If it's a big window, it'll copy it as a big window, but only that window. And what's great for, as the Chappelles point out, is it's great for pasting into Word when authoring an how-to document. Those of you that are in charge of teaching other people how to use the computer, how to use the accounting program, how to use whatever it is in your organization, in your life, your kids, your grandma, whatever it is, that's the way you can actually create step-by-step directions with the screenshots so that it will mimic what they'll see as they're following your instructions. And you want to talk about creating a document that's got a lot of power and makes you the hero. If you've never used print screen and alt print screen after today, hopefully your life has changed. Is that a little too much? A little over the top?
Not unless they find the value in it.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can give value to our friend Art, who's been holding. But before we provide value, we're asking for a little value back from you, Art. Your keyboard shortcut favorite one to share with the crowd.
Well, just a comment on the one that you had for copying, Control-C.
Yes.
The V key is right next door to C.
Yes.
So you can think of it that way, too.
Yeah, that's, you know what, you and Kevin Church are great minds think alike.
Told you, that's the easiest way to remember that. The V's are next to the C.
Yeah.
See, I had to go the long way to go Velcro.
The other one was the idea of filling in these URLs with the www and the .com.
Yeah.
You just type the basic content of the URL and just hit, in combination, Control Enter, and
hey,
it
Art.
Fills it in automatically.
Hey, Art.
I use that a lot.
Art.
Yeah.
You weren't listening at the beginning of the show, right?
No, I wasn't.
because great minds do think alike. That was my tip, and the other one that you gave
anyway.
Was Kevin's tip.
Well, I'm useless.
No, you're not. You're absolutely not. You just reemphasized that we're brilliant.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I go along with that.
All right, so Service Pack 3.
I got to Google, and I got that. I see a whole list of things.
Yes. Well, but nobody else was privy to the conversation we had off the air, so let's go back and backtrack.
Okay.
What I recommended you do, because anytime you have this issue, Service Pack 3 is a compilation of all the updates that Microsoft had come up to up until that time. So those of you that are installing, you know, reinstalling Windows, that kind of thing, you have to get up to those points so that you know that you have all the patches, especially, like, you know, that's where the Configer patch is, and I mean all those kinds of things, right? Or at least the first version of the Configer patch, I believe, is in that current version of Service Pack 3. So when you cannot install it, and usually what happens is it starts to go through and, like, gives up in the middle or gives you an error message, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what's happening is it's running into something in your Windows registry, which is like the DNA of your particular computer. It's running into something that it doesn't like. It knows is going to be a problem if it goes forward. And, of course, instead of giving you very clear instructions about, I don't like this exact registry key located right here, it just says, you know, it's like the idiot light on the car, right?
Yeah.
It's like, we have a problem. Great, thank you so much. Or if they give you an error message, it's an error message with a bunch of numbers and things that, you know, Einstein might be able to figure out what that is by using, you know, some
exactly.
whatever third world way of, or third, other world way of, you know, translating all those numbers and whatever. But the bottom line is there are a lot of resources on the internet that will give you, here are all the different things that you can try, here are all the different possibilities. So what I suggested, there's a great article on Lifehacker. It actually happens to be the Australian version of Lifehacker. And I just had you type in the title of the actual page. That way you have a very high likelihood of finding it right away. It comes up number 2 in Google. And you just type in what to do when Windows XP Service Pack 3 won't install. And you can do that, folks, with just about every problem and issue. If you are a do-it-yourselfer, here's the big secret for all the people that are out there that do this professionally. We have stores, 50 stores in 14 states. This is what we do every time we run into something that we haven't already seen before, or we want to make sure we know all the very latest things that have been discovered about a problem. Unlike any other service business, the car business, home repair, all these other things that you tend to hear, this is a moving target, and I don't care how certified and brilliant you are, there's no way to have studied 4 years ago for something that hasn't even happened until next month. And that's a real challenge for all of us in the computer business. And before Google came along, it was really a challenge because then you had to rely on your network of other techs, right?
Yes.
So Art, you and everyone listening, you can tap the shoulder of 1 million, 2 million, 5 million technicians out there that have taken the time to articulate their thoughts on a problem, and there will be lots and lots of those folks. So if you are a do-it-yourselfer, you're in such great luck because there's plenty of information out there. And all computer problems can be solved with one of two things, right, Art? Time or money. Every problem can be solved with time or money.
That seems to be true.
Yeah. You may not like the way that they solve the problem. and in fact, a lot of people, because they're lazy and they don't want to go through, when I say a lot of people that either do this professionally or do this as a hobby, they're looking at how to get this problem solved quickly for them, not for you. And there's way too many people out there that are saying, well, just wipe it out and start over again. Yeah, because that's just, you know, all the stuff that it takes to get the machine working the way you want it to work. That's not their problem in their mind. That's your problem, right? That's horrible.
Well,
so
I took 3 shots at it. And
yeah, so you
there
just
must be a better way.
Exactly. So you just need to keep looking. If you want to solve this problem, you can. Just keep looking at all the resources that are out there so that you can find which sample or which example is basically what you're experiencing, because there's way too many possible causes for a Service Pack 3 install problem.
Is this what to do beginning of a query on Google work for a lot of different kinds of problems?
Everything you could possibly ever want to know about anything, anywhere. And here's now. Let me take this to the next level, because I think people have started to figure out I'm a big, big fan of Twitter. Here's why I'm a big fan of Twitter. You can go and search Twitter for somebody that actually just either asked or answered a question about a Service Pack 3 install problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like with Lifehacker, you're reading what somebody posted, right? There's no way to interact with those people. This was posted back in September of 2008.
Yes.
Okay, and it's relevant. It's relevant, but you can't ask Angus Kidman, who posted this, any clarifying questions. You get on Twitter and you find somebody that has fixed or is in the middle of fixing a Service Pack 3 problem, and you have a question. They probably posted this Twitter feed, or this tweet, minutes ago, hours ago, and and you can reach out to them and say, "Hey, I'm having this problem. You know, how did you solve that?" You see the difference?
Yes.
So now Google's great for finding all the stuff that's already happened. Twitter is phenomenal for finding people that are dealing with it right now.
I've never used it.
Well, search.twitter.com. Put in SP3 install problem or whatever, SP3 install, and just start looking at all the things that people have posted and see if one of those folks might have a resource. They might have another link that says, here's a bunch of ways that you can possibly fix this yourself. Okay?
Great.
All right?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You betcha. Good luck with that. And hopefully, by listening to that babbling on, which is what I'm very good at, we're trying to work on Kevin to help. Right?
Little by little.
You're like the Silent Bob of the computer corner.
Well, you know, there's these calls, and I don't want to cut you off or the caller off, so
yeah,
I figure I'd just impart my spirit into you and let that work.
All right. More keystroke shortcuts, more about netbooks, and all that fun coming up here on the computer corner. Stay tuned. And we're hoping that you're getting jiggy with it on this Saturday afternoon. We certainly are. We're having fun with keyboard shortcuts. And hopefully you hear one that you go, oh, that sounds interesting, and you start using it. And that just makes you that much more efficient of a computer user as you go on. One of the things I mentioned earlier in the show was that I took my first road trip with a netbook and was pleasantly surprised with its usage. And because of that, Jim is on the phone. Ashley has a question. First of all, do you have a favorite shortcut that you'd like to share with the world?
You computer geniuses used up every single one that I know when you opened the program.
We already covered them all. All right. Well,
hopefully then
you'll hear some more as we go on that you're going, I didn't know that, and you adopt those and you'll be good to go. So your question on the netbook. Well, first of all, do you understand really what a netbook is designed to do?
No.
Okay. They call it a netbook instead of a notebook for a reason. Because it's primarily designed to provide you access to the internet. So the rule of thumb is, if you can walk up to any internet computer today and access all the stuff you care about, you're probably a pretty good candidate for a netbook. However, if everything that you care about, for the most part, lives on the computer that you use, and you basically have to be on that computer, the netbook may not be a good choice for you. Do you see the difference? It's not a high-powered, you can't play games on it. You can't, when I say games, I'm talking about real third-person, you know, the real high-energy games that are out there. You can play solitaire and those kinds of things.
Right.
You can't really get too involved with any kind of real video. I mean, you can play online videos, but you can't, the processor can't handle high-level performance like that. That's why they're so cheap. So, it'll come with some basic word processing and those kinds of things. But if your primary needs are, I want to get on the internet, I want to check my emails, and my emails are either web-based, like Gmail or one of those things, or I'm just going to use a basic email program to get to my account. You're going to be near a Wi-Fi signal, right, so that you can access the internet, that kind of thing.
Well, I was looking at it to use with an air card and Office Works, and that's about all I'd need. But it doesn't have a CD drive
to put
the programming in.
Correct. There's no optical drive, so you either have to get creative and create a image of a CD and put it onto a flash drive or get it onto an external hard drive or buy an external optical drive. The thing is, once you start adding all these things up, you're going to be at the price of a low-end real laptop that's got all the stuff already.
Right.
So, again, you know, the Acer Aspire 1 10.2-inch device that I took it because it was just the way it was all I needed. See, I call the netbook the third computing place. It's kind of like, you know, Starbucks is supposed to be the third place in your life. There's the traditional computer where there's a laptop or a desktop. There are these smartphones that, you know, BlackBerries and iPhones and those kinds of things, right? Uh-huh. And those two are pretty powerful. You know, if I'm going on a short road trip with my iPhone, I can usually I don't have to bring a notebook or a netbook. I can accomplish all of my email and all the internet surfing and everything I need on my little iPhone. If I'm on a longer road trip or I have more documents and things that I need to work with, then having something else that's more powerful than my iPhone, but certainly not as big and heavy as my notebook, is good to go. So if it's going to be your primary computer, I don't think it's going to work out too well. As I talk to the people that sell a lot of these netbooks, they said a very large number, overwhelmingly large number of people that bring it back because they got it under false pretenses. They didn't they didn't realize how incapable of doing the things that they wanted to do they were. So would this be your primary computer?
Wouldn't be primary, but it would have to do those functions of being able to use an air card and able to use Office Works.
And is your air card going into like a PC slot on your current notebook?
Or does it
plug into a USB port?
USB.
Okay.
But the programming for it goes in through a CD.
Well, or you can, that kind of thing, you can download drivers off the internet as long as you got a Wi-Fi signal. So there's ways of getting around that, but these really big programs like Microsoft Office or Works or those kinds of things. Now, a lot of them come with a trial version, like the one I have, comes with a trial version of the full-blown Microsoft Office. So if you want to pay the price to continue using that, then you don't have to load anything because it will come on there. So there may be a way for you. You're kind of in that gray area. You're on the border of this making sense.
Right.
You need to make sure that you do your homework and spend the time really going through and make sure you do look at the actual end cost. No matter what you do, the netbook will never be as powerful as even the cheapest low-end notebook. Okay? So from a long-term standpoint, if you're getting real close to the price of the bottom end of a notebook, I'm going to probably suggest you go that route because it's going to last you a lot longer. You're going to be able to do a lot more with it.
Very good.
Okay?
I'm now educated.
All right. Well, hopefully that helped others as well. And later on in the show, I'll go over some of the specific things that I learned that are very, very helpful when it comes to deciding when and how to use the notebook. I tell you, the first thing is I don't care what the built-in mouse is, forget about it. I'm going to tell you the mouse that you need. I don't care if you're a road warrior, you got a netbook or a notebook. I got the most amazing travel mouse ever that I took with me. Dorian, I'm going to take your call off the line, off the air, and see if we can help you. 602-277-5827. The lines are wide open, the exception of one line, which we're going to clear here during this break. So check that out or follow us on Twitter, The Data Doc, and give us your favorite keystrokes as well so we can share that with others. Hour number two coming up.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
Can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
It's hour number two of the Computer Corner, the keyboard shortcut. What was the replacement word for extravaganza?
I haven't found one yet.
Look it up.
Too good.
Extravaganza's too good, huh? We're trying to learn you some new keyboard shortcuts and strokes that you probably didn't know existed. That's probably why you don't use them. Most of us that know about these keystrokes use them quite often. So we want to try to give you some insight as to why we're so hot and bothered about some of these keystrokes and have people share their favorites.
I did find a pretty amazing one while on the break.
What's that?
I'm not used to using it. The, you know, the Windows key down at the bottom normally that instantly opens the start menu, which you used to be able to do, well, you still can with Control Escape. If you've got a bunch of windows open on your computer, like if you're browsing the internet, listening to music, typing up a letter, and you need to get something off of your desktop, rather than minimizing every single window, you hold down that Windows key and then you hit D for desktop.
It is the amnesia version of the computer corner. That was a tip that read off the Twitter screen earlier. You must have been.
Oh, no, I was fooling around with them. I'm like, man, I need to remember that one.
Yeah, that was. I said that earlier.
Oh, I must have phased that one.
That's what I'm
out.
Saying. It's the amnesia show. It's okay. It's spreading. Forget all that. It's time for. I mean, the one time you open your mouth and you're regurgitating.
I know. It was either that good or I just need some caffeine or something.
You know what it is? It's these really good keyboard shortcuts. We're gonna say them twice to make sure everybody gets it because they're that good. Hey, it's time for the Geek Speed of the Week where we give you a term, a word, a portion of the vernacular that... helps you understand if you hear the term or use the term if you want to make it look like, yeah, you're a BMOC, right? Remember BMOC from Saturday Night Live?
No.
John Belushi doing Samurai BMOC. Big man on campus. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place this morning.
Oh, don't worry. I'll probably bring that up in 20 minutes or something funny. And
all right. You want to take a Geek Speak of the Week for this? I mean, this is a good one.
This is a good one. It's the Geek Speak of the Week is social not working.
Social not working.
Yes.
Not networking. It's not working.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So instead of working, employees will surf social networking sites, so Twitter or Facebook or MySpace or, revamping up old stuff, whatever.
And that workforce is known as social not workers. The cool thing as an employer about social networking sites is that if somebody is avidly tweeting or updating their status on their Facebook page and what have you, there are a number of ways to figure out that they were doing that on company time.
Well, and there's some ways that, you know, somebody with a little bit of knowledge on the computer can redirect those sites to other things.
Yes, but if their profile shows that during work hours they were spending a lot of time updating, it's kind of obvious.
Yep.
So, if you are dealing with a workforce of social not workers, there's easy ways to deal with that. So, I like that one, social not working.
That's a good one.
All right, let's go back to the Twitter feeds here. We got to actually, our man in Woodbury, Minnesota. Husker du, Paul Schmitz.
Don't you know?
Don't you know? He sent in his keyboard shortcut. Now, he's a big spreadsheet guy, as am I. And I have to admit, I use a lot of keyboard shortcuts. I don't use that many in Excel, and I know there are a ton of them. He's saying the Alt plus the equal sign basically is like the sum key, summation, right?
Hmm.
So instead of having to click on the... You know, a lot of times you're typing on the keyboard. So anytime you don't have to go from the keyboard to the mouse and then back to the keyboard, that's where these keyboard shortcuts really start to pay big dividends because you just stay on the keyboard the whole time. Another cool thing about all these keyboard shortcuts is there's one of the links that I have up today are the most common ones you should know when your mouse stops working. You know, because your mouse stops working, what do you do? How do you even shut down? Well, if you know all the basics, like Brandon called in and talked about Alt F4. If you do that enough times, you'll get to the point where you're telling Windows to shut down. And most of today's mices, connect to your computer through what's called the USB port. And if something goes wrong with Windows, or if it didn't boot properly, the mouse will not properly engage and you won't have one. If you have the older style mouse that plugs into the actual mouse port, then it works in safe mode, it works in... You know, in a lot more cases than the USB mouse does. So if you lose the use of your mouse, look at the link on our website, datadoctors.com/radio, and there's a whole bunch of them there. If you really want to know about shortcuts, we have got the ultimate library of shortcuts in the resource section of today's show. Check those things out. Also, every program that you use has been screaming at you to explain what the keyboard shortcut is for just about everything that you ever click. If you click on Tools in your Internet Explorer or whatever it is, and you want to go to the Internet Options. Actually, I don't even have IE open. But anyway, look, anytime you click on those menus, like if I click on File in Internet Explorer, the first one is New Tab. You can open a new tab. Well, you can open a new tab by going Control-T in Internet Explorer. And if you look on the right-hand side of every one of those commands in every single program you use, those are the keyboard shortcuts for that particular command.
I've got an idea for the social not working.
What's that?
If you set your home page in Internet Explorer to be a web page like how to get promoted at work or how to succeed, and you're on one of those social networking websites, if you can hit Control-T, will that go to your home page?
No, Control-T just opens up a new tab.
That might have been a good idea.
But Control-N will open a new window and go to whatever your default page is.
So it could look like you're researching on how to get promoted.
Oh, listen,
you're screwing around.
If you're trying to cover up being screwing around, trust me. Those tools and options were created many, many, many years ago. Going back to very early days of just about all those really, really low-resolution, crappy games in DOS, every one of them had the keystroke to be able to look like you were working on a spreadsheet.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's old school. Speaking of old school, Terry's on asking about something called Windows 98? Terry?
Oh, hello.
Is that you have a Windows 98 question?
Yes.
I'm not even sure my cranium can scrape that knowledge back out, but I'll try.
Oh, my favorite keyboard thing.
Yes.
Shortcuts, Control-A, select everything.
Control-A, that is select all. That is useful, and I can't tell you how many places.
Oh, yeah, I love it for backing up files, because I'm a religious backer or upper.
Well, you are one in, like, 100 million.
I have it burned on CDs. I have it on flash drives. I've got an old computer that the hard drive is just used for backing up the other computers. Anyhow.
Well, you know what? My favorite usage of Control-A is when I'm trying to get rid of stuff.
That, too.
Control-A and press the delete. And
you got it.
Gone. Oh, you know what, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got your keyboard shortcut.
Okay.
I'll put you on hold for a second because we've got to go to a break because I'm not paying attention because I'm having such a good time. I hope you are as well. But we are going to a break. It's the Computer Corner. Ken Colburn, Kevin Church, the Data Doctors, right back after this. Looking for Windows keyboard shortcuts? We got them. You looking for the Mac OS X keyboard shortcuts? You looking for keyboard shortcuts for the older Mac operating systems? We got them. How about for Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, Outlook Express, Firefox, Internet Explorer, Photoshop? Even the iPhone shortcuts. We've got them all listed at datadoctors.com/radio. It's today's theme. And we did not leave you Trio and BlackBerry, CrackBerry addicts out there. You've got that as well. And the next to the last one is the most useful shortcuts when your mouse is on strike. It's a good one to have as a bookmark. So check all that out. 602-277-5827 when you hear someone hang up. Or apparently I said it too quick. Some folks are emailing saying, I didn't quite get your Twitter address. It's just search for The Data Doc. That's my persona online, The Data Doc. Oh, no spaces. And start following us and give us your shortcuts or your keyboard shortcut favorites so that we can share them with others. You had another one that Brandon texted in and said, oh, yeah, don't forget about the undo.
That's a greatest eraser shortcut. It's a Control-Z.
Undo.
Yep.
Control-Z.
Pretty helpful in, like, Excel. And
that works in virtually every program.
Yeah.
In fact, if you're doing something on the Internet, you're filling out a form, you want to undo that, Control-Z. In most forms, still works as well. So,
well, if you need to redo the command,
Control-Y. There you have it. It's right next to Z, huh? No,
yep.
No, it isn't.
Close enough.
No, it isn't. it isn't. It is in the alphabet.
Same hand can touch it.
Something like that. All right, so before we went to break, Terry wound up the Wayback Machine and asked us a question about this Windows 98? That's, you know what, congratulations, you're still running on a machine that's of that era?
Well, it's a long story.
Are you connected to the Internet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Windows 98 is extremely vulnerable to a lot of stuff because there wasn't a lot of security built in.
Yeah, so, I know. So, that's why I use the library's computers for the Internet.
Oh, okay. So this isn't connected to the Internet at all?
No. Okay. Nothing at home is connected to the Internet anymore.
All right. Okay, so your question was, this thing comes up. I have the password, but I don't want to have to type the password in every time.
You're right.
Okay. Well, there's two things. Windows 98 was such a security monster. I mean, it was so secure. You know how you bypass that password on Windows 98?
Hit cancel.
Yeah, hit the escape key.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, but that doesn't solve what you're talking about. What I was just trying to point out is that there's no security in Windows 98. Passwords in Windows 98 were completely useless.
Okay.
Because you could get right past them. So, how do I get rid of this thing, right?
Right.
Are you familiar with the control panel?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you go into the control panel, one of the options is passwords.
Right.
And all you do is it asks you for the old one, mm-hmm. and then it asks you what you want the new ones to be. And you just leave them blank.
Ew, that's simple.
I know. I love easy questions. Now, you can also tell Windows, if you want to go to the advanced steps on this, you can go into the network settings and the Windows logon, mm-hmm. you can change, there's a setting in there that basically says I don't want to be asked for the password or username or whatever. No one even asked you.
Just I've already done that.
Okay,
that one I figured out.
You just hadn't gotten rid of the password yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't make it real obvious there that if you don't want the password, just leave it blank.
Okay. Cool. And what's this thing with network neighborhood? That little icon that's up on the.
That's basically an easy way for you to access resources on a network if you were on one. So if you wanted to get to another computer or to a server or to a network printer or what have you.
Is there a way to get rid of that icon?
98, I believe. You just drag it off the screen, right?
Oh, I think I always get a message.
It's part of the system. Yeah, there is a way to take that off. I just, it baffles me at the moment just because that kind of goes back.
Okay.
There is a setting there. If you want to hang on, if you don't mind hanging on off the air, I'll look that up. I'll remember that. Or at least look it up. Get him taken care of. Is this Polly?
Hey, this is Paul.
Paul, calling from the Midwest.
Woodbury, Minnesota.
See, we were making fun of you on the air earlier.
Oh, I could hear it.
And we already gave up your keystroke.
Did you?
We did. Do you have another one?
I've got another one.
Give me another one.
It's Excel.
Okay.
F4 repeats the last command you did.
No matter what it is?
What's that?
No matter what you typed, it repeats that last command?
Yep. Like if you copy and pasted something.
Oh, you do that over and over again, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
It's great for titles.
What's the weather like in Woodbury, Minnesota?
Oh, it's very nice.
Is it?
It's sunny.
I was just there. It was actually very beautiful. I was thanking them for the Chamber of Commerce bringing out this beautiful Arizona weather while I was in Minneapolis.
Oh,
it's good stuff.
It's greening up now. It's starting to go green.
Our man Paul and our Woodbury operations, thanks for chiming in, Mr. Excel.
Thanks.
And, another half an hour to go. We're talking about keyboard shortcuts. We're talking about netbook. When we come back, we're going to tell you what's going on with that Bluetooth that we all love to hate. It's the Computer Corner back after this. Hey there. Hopefully, you caught some portion of the show where you learned something new about that wonderful keyboard there and all the little extra keystrokes that are in there. Software Simeon from Twitter chimes in with, did I catch amnesia or has Control-S not come up yet? Control-S is absolutely a fantastic keyboard shortcut. Wouldn't you say there?
Not quite sure what that one does.
Really? How about Shift-Delete? I like that one better.
Shift-Delete?
Yeah. When you press the delete key.
Oh, permanently deletes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So those of you that, when you're deleting something from, if you're doing a Control-A, right? I'm doing this now. You do a Control-A. You're in a folder that's got a lot of files. You're trying to clear space. Most people don't realize when you say, just delete it, it doesn't clear any space because it just moves it to your recycle bin. Right?
Hmm.
So if you do the control delete, I'm sorry, the shift delete, that tells it, don't even bother. Don't bother putting it in the recycle bin, just get rid of it. I actually do want to delete this, so don't ask me again, or I don't want to have to go to the recycle bin and delete. Now, the flip side of that is if it's something where you're not really sure if you're going to need it again, not so much. Probably don't want to do that. Control-S, I'm sorry, Control-S actually is a quick save in most programs. It does do something different in some programs. I think Photoshop, there's a... I think it's the same in Photoshop. I know there are some, like encyclopedias and things of that nature, resource-type programs where Control-S will do something a little different. But for the most part, Control-S is basically a shortcut to save. Save you, brother. Thank you, brother. I'll be right there.
Don't most programs do that on the fly as it is?
If they're set up to do that. Like the Office programs have an autosave, which, by the way, if you didn't realize that, autosave is what autosaves your rear end when the machine crashes and you're in the middle of that document and you hadn't saved. If you have a machine that is crashing a lot right now and you're constantly losing documents, until you figure out why the machine crashes so much, you may want to change the autosave interval to a shorter period. That way it captures more of the stuff for you automatically. Or just get in the habit of constantly clicking the Control-S. So, in either way, Software Simeon provided value. Those are two great, awesome, amazing suggestions. Yeah?
Yep.
Back to the phones. We got Jeff, who's got his input on keyboard shortcuts. Jeff, what is your contribution to the crowd?
Yeah, I always play, like, games online or on my computer, and it always goes into full screen mode. Well, the only way normally to go back to your desktop, well, I'd have to cancel out of the game. Well, I found out if you hit Alt and Tab, it'll actually drop the full screen game down into your little bar down there so you can access your desktop.
You can minimize, absolutely. Absolutely, and I believe, I'm not sure in all games if that would work or not.
I have yet to find a game that it hasn't worked on.
Okay. Well, there. No, I don't mean that. I was going to give you another one where you can actually toggle between full screen and windowed.
Oh.
In some cases, you can do. I believe it is. This is one of those tricky ones. I got to go back and do my homework, but I'm gonna look that up for you. Stay tuned. I'm pretty sure there is a combination keystroke, because I've learned most of my keystrokes when the mouse died. You know, you can hit like Alt Spacebar. I don't know if a lot of people that didn't know Alt Spacebar bring that little dialog box up that you normally double click on the left icon for the window and it'll close the window.
Yeah.
The Alt Spacebar bring up that restore minimize close. So if you lose your mouse, that's how you can, move stuff around or minimize something or whatever without going, how do I click on the minus key with no mouse?
That's good to know.
But hang tight, and Alt-Tab obviously is a phenomenal keystroke for just about all the programs. But I'm going to see if I can add value to yours, Jeff, so stay tuned for that.
Okay.
Appreciate you chiming in on that.
All right.
I'll look that up at the next, or I'll play around with that, and I'll make sure I get that. A couple lines open, 602-277-5827, or you can, as always, chime in via the internet if you go to datadoctors.com/radio, and you can either ask a question, make a suggestion through the radio show website, or ask just in general all the questions that we have in here. I'm just trying to look to see if any of these... Well, there's somebody asking about an external hard drive, and Perry, if you're still listening, the external hard drive, in his case, when he deletes the file from his primary computer, it also deletes from his external hard drive. So, Perry, that means your software is doing what's called imaging, or it's doing a mirror of whatever is on your computer, and it's kind of trying to do a real-time, or else at night it kind of reconciles. Okay, if you deleted it off your main computer, you probably don't want it on your backup anymore. It's just the way that software is set up. So if you want it to actually be a archive that would be different than your primary computer, you're going to need to make a change to the software program so that it's, and that's generally just a configuration. You don't have to buy anything new. You just need to change the way your backup software is working. So hopefully that helps you out. And again, 602-277-5827. Wade joins us, who's got a question with the blue screen of death. But beforehand, do you want to contribute anything to the crowd with a favorite keyboard shortcut?
Well, I use Snagit quite a bit, and I find Control-Alt-3 will bring it up without having to go through the menus and stuff.
And for those not familiar with the Snagit, what does Snagit do?
Snagit is a program that will grab a defined area off of your screen or a whole screen, or actually will even do text or even video.
You can actually choose exactly what you want to capture off the screen, correct?
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a much more elaborate version of what we were talking about earlier in the show with the print screen and the alt print screen and those kinds of screen captures.
Right.
Those are defined solely by whatever the borders are in Windows, whereas Snagit says, whatever you want, whatever portion you want, you just let me know and that's all we're going to snag.
Yeah, it works great. Great. Changed control stuff. So.
Yeah, great program, great tip. And your question, sir?
I have a HP Media Center PC and with Vista on it, and I'm getting intermittent blue screens. Done all the Vista upgrades and did an Intel upgrade for their Matrix storage manager that's supposed to solve some blue screen problems, but it didn't solve this one.
BSOD, blue screen of death, huh?
Yeah, it always boots up afterwards. But,
and the fun part is it's intermittent, right?
Yep. It may be a couple hours apart sometimes. You know, 10 minutes it will happen. It's not...
The most difficult thing to track down in computer service is those intermittent problems. Now, a blue screen, when it comes up, it has a bunch of gibberish on there.
Right.
Have you ever looked real close at the gibberish?
Well, one of the things I see is something about a driver, IRQ something.
Okay, well, that's very helpful because that probably doesn't mean anything to you, but that's pointing to a conflict. Generally speaking, the IRQ is what are called interrupts.
Right.
And so you can't have two devices on the same computer trying to occupy the same interrupt without a potential problem. So it sounds like you have some form of either hardware or software combination of configuration for the main system.
Mm-hmm.
So that one actually is going to be a little easier to track down than these ones with just all the hex signals on there. What you might want to do is take that exact error message in the blue screen,
okay,
put it in quotation marks, and dump it into Google,
okay,
and see what comes up. And, you know, you can decide whether these things that they're suggesting are something that you're comfortable doing.
Right.
But at least you can start to understand what the potential causes are for that specific one. So you can go beyond the blue screen and dive into the actual error in the blue screen, put that into Google,
mm-hmm,
and continue your education.
Well, it usually comes up with a Windows recover from an unexpected shutdown.
Right. No, but the IRQ message,
yeah,
that's the key. That's going to help you solve this so you don't have to go through this anymore.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, good luck with that. And I forgot all about Snagit. We don't even talk about that. You can just search for that. I believe it's a free download. If it's not free, it's a shareware. It's fairly inexpensive. Snagit, Snagit. It's good. I think this is a quick question. Arlene, are you asking where on our website are all the shortcuts?
Yes, where can I find it? What is the website, and where can I find them? Because I love your show. Whenever I talk about it, people are like, where'd you learn how to do that? And I never tell them.
You don't have to. As long as you keep listening, and you know, if we make you sound smarter to your friends, then that's half the goal of this show, and I appreciate you listening. Well, we are data doctors, so you go to our website, datadoctors.com, and then put a slash in the word radio, mm-hmm, or you can simply click on the radio show link at the top of our little navigation there. It's the third button in there, and that will be today's resource.
Okay.
List. Now, that's going to change, so if for purposes of bookmarking this for future reference,
mm-hmm,
what you may want to do, this gets a little tricky, but if you click on the previous show button right underneath the picture of me and Brandon,
okay,
that'll take you to last week's show, and you'll see the link changes.
Okay.
And you'll see there's a number. Last week's show was show 465.
Okay.
This week's show is 466. So if you're gonna bookmark that, channel, it sounds a little odd, but then we'll have to make this easier for people to be able to bookmark the exact page.
Yeah.
But just change that 465 to 466.
Okay.
And then bookmark that, and then you'll have a permanent bookmark to our keyboard shortcut show.
Awesome.
That makes sense.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. There you go. Educating at least one person out there. 602-277-5827. Got one segment left and a couple lines open. We're going to talk to Lenore after this and maybe give you a few more little insights into, I already said this, I better do this, Bluetooth 3.0 when we come back. It's keyboard shortcuts galore at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. You could spend the rest of your life trying to get through all the keyboard shortcuts that we've posted. Here's one from, looks like R.L. Bryson. So this is one of my favorites. If you hold the control key down while rolling that little scroll button on the scroll wheel on your mouse, that will increase or decrease the size of the fonts on the web page.
It decreases the whole page, including the pictures. So if you can't see a picture real good, you can actually magnify it.
You can do all kinds of goodies, but hold the control key down and start playing with that scroll wheel on your mouse, and you will be elated. Elated, elated. By the way, the netbook, we got so caught up with solving problems and talking about shortcuts. We're at the end of our segment here, huh? The netbook. Here's a couple of tips, folks. If you're looking at a netbook, remember, it's the third computing place. It's not going to replace your traditional computers. It's not going to replace your smartphone. It is that third place. So you think in terms of when would you use that third computing device. Here are the basics that I would recommend. A, nothing less than a 10-inch screen. If you go smaller than that, I think you'll be upset because of the resolution issues. Be able to see certain things on the internet, it gets a little small. If you're like me and your eyes are starting to go, all the more reason. Two, make absolutely sure that you test the keyboard that you plan on using. I can't stress that enough. That's the number one complaint with people that get the netbooks, because the keyboards, in order to be able to accommodate the smaller form factor, it has to change the way the keyboard is laid out to a certain degree. Sometimes it's going to be a smaller enter key, smaller backspace key, slight adjustments as to where on the keyboard they put certain keys. Those are all important things, especially if you're a touch typist. I also recommend, I have this problem with just about all notebooks, that little touch pad that they use for the mouse. A, it's just excruciatingly difficult, and B, if I get lazy and drag my thumb across, it does something I don't want it to do, like close a window or select something or move to it. It's a pain. I will tell you that just about every one of you out there that's going to use this on the road, I found the most amazing travel mouse that I don't even know what the name of it is, but it flips down, and I'm looking for, I'm looking on Microsoft's website. Oh, there it is. It's the Arc mouse. It's a special edition mouse from Microsoft. Comes in a different couple of different colors. But the tail end actually flips up and down. It's got a little tiny transceiver that you plug into the unit. It stores into a little satchel that goes right inside your laptop bag. It's phenomenal. It's the best travel mouse I've ever had. And whether you're using a netbook or whatever, if you're using a notebook, it's called the Arc mouse. If you haven't seen it on the shelves yet, it's fairly new. It's like $50. It's a wireless transmitter. You know, I think it's, I don't know if it's infrared, and it's not infrared. It's got to be radio frequency because it's not Bluetooth. Bluetooth 3.0, though, I keep talking about that. Bluetooth right now is relegated to some basic exchange of information between your handheld and those cyborg-looking headsets, right? Bluetooth in its current iteration is not really capable of transmitting large amounts of information. On April 21st, the 3.0 standard for Bluetooth will be released. Now, what that means is all the eggheads that are out there that develop products around these standards, they will get the rules of the game for the next version of Bluetooth. That's going to be published on April 21st. That does not mean on April 22nd that you'll be able to go to the store and buy something. That just means that these eggheads are all going to start working on products that will take advantage of this new standard. Well, what's the difference? The difference is they're making the claim, I don't know if this is true or not, but the special interest group for Bluetooth 3.0 is making the claim that the new standard for Bluetooth will be so much faster and so much better at reducing the power consumption for whatever device it's connected to that it's going to make a big difference. They're making claims that you'll be able to pull down an entire DVD worth of information in seconds, which, if you know anything about Bluetooth now, that is a horrifically fast exponential increase in the throughput of the bandwidth. So think about having that very high-speed data exchange. If you've got an iPhone, you got a BlackBerry, you got all these things, it's now a relevant way to synchronize large volumes of files. Wouldn't it be great to actually have Bluetooth work to where it could sync this stuff up? I mean, large picture databases, files, whatever it is. So it's pretty exciting stuff from the standpoint of what could be. Obviously, we'll keep our ear to the ground. We'll keep you posted on this thing, but it will make a difference if the standard is anywhere near what they're claiming it will be. By the way, that kind of information, along with lots of other information, is available through our weekly newsletter. If you are not a subscriber, if you go to the free help center at datadoctors.com, look on the right-hand side, you can see where you can subscribe or take a look at old links on there. I'm going to continue my discussion about netbooks on Twitter. So, the Data Doc, no spaces. If you want to continue to engage, I've got my iPhone ready. I'll be talking some more, send you some pictures. Mr. Church, appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate everybody kicking in with those keyboard shortcuts, and we'll see you all next week.